Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, listeners, to The Extra Inch. My name's Windy, and I'm joined by my sidekick and best friend, Bardi. Hello, Bardi.
Watching Tottenham on a Wednesday night. Here I am.
He speaks. And
try to silence me.
Don't speak over my intro, Bardi. You're going chaotic. You're going full chaos already. And our tactics guy, and a man who wants to sell all of our players all of the time, it's Nathan E. Clark.
Get
hello, Nathan.
Get them out. They're brilliant. They're terrific. Get out of my club. I love you. You're fantastic. Fuck off.
Perfect. You've really upset people on Twitter.
I know. I didn't, stupidly, and it's obvious in retrospect, stupidly, I didn't anticipate such, but of course there is, I don't know. I just obviously am a weird guy.
It's the kind of thing you can absolutely say on a podcast when there's no immediate clapback.
But only 60 minutes into the episode.
yeah, there's enough people no longer listening. definitely don't do that on Twitter again. It's not worth it.
The thing is, all I needed to do was go for like a more fantastical fee. If I made it 200 million, people would receive it the way it's intended.
That is absolutely true. We've qualified for the Champions League, boys.
Hey!
We're playing on Wednesday nights.
Never in doubt.
Well, exactly, never in doubt. And I hope a lot of people feel very silly after a week of unnecessary panic. Norwich are awful, really awful. And that was our easiest game of the season. It was perfect. It was a perfect way to see it out. And even more perfect because our beloved Sonny has got his hands on the golden boot as well. We shall definitely talk about that. A couple of bits of admin to deal with first. So firstly, just a reminder that the shop is open, theextrainch.co.uk. Check out our shop. We've got some merch designed by Trayton. It's really nice. And if you want to be an ex-sub, we'd really appreciate your support. We will be making content all summer. Now, to become an ex-sub, you go to patreon.com/theextrainch. Or if you just want to support us a different way, you can buy us a coffee on coffee.com. So ko-vfi.com/theextrainch. We're looking for partners for July onwards. And that could be on a weekly basis, monthly basis, or longer. Send any inquiries to podcast@theextrainch.co.uk. And I just wanted to say also a massive thank you to the many, many people who emailed and messaged us about hair loss. That subject has definitely struck a chord with people. We are going to tackle lots of those emails on the next pod. This one is going to be more of a celebratory one. And we've got our ex-subs here for a live Q&A too. So we'll tackle that in the next one. Let's start off with a quick chat about the Norwich game before we get some of our ex-subs on. And we always start with the lineup. No surprises though in this case. Kulusevski back in for Lucas, the only change from the last game. The bench stacked with young players, although obviously none of them got on. But Bardi, that was a relief that after some of the rumours about viruses going around the squad, that there were no issues there.
Yeah, I always appreciate a bit of ITK sliding into my DMs, but proper shout out for someone. I'm not going to out them for telling Gary me that Lineker. His wife works in the Gary Lineker production company or something. It was quite creative. And that we had 8 or 9 players out with food poisoning. I mean, yeah, it was never going to happen again. But the lineup was fine. There were rumours about Romero starting over Sanchez, which would have been nice. But if that team versus Norwich, I felt pretty confident, even though after like 9 minutes or so, I did get a bit nervous. And then after we went 2-0 up, I started going in hard on social media, which made me doubt it. But yeah, it was never a doubt. They were terrible, man. And they were a great team to play when you need a win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely glorious that Arsenal got their biggest win of the season and we still bettered their result. That's a nice way to end the season as well. Mm. Nathan, anything of interest for you in this game? I mean, it just looked like a good team against a bad team, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. Shout out to Arsenal for not getting battered on this one occasion. But I don't know. There's so little to talk about in this game. It was only how we were feeling going into it, and I think I was confident. It's easy to say I was confident afterwards, obviously. We're just kind of a team under Conte who just like get it done, basically.
I mean, Norwich put their strongest team out. Now, if we Frank Lampard, he made 6 changes, including dropping his goalkeeper. And I just imagine had Norwich done that, the reaction the Arsenal fans would have had. It's just I hope Frank Lampard gets relegated next year because he's an absolute mug.
Yeah, I must admit I wasn't best pleased when I saw the Everton lineup and just saw like hefty rotation. It didn't seem very sporting, frankly. But yeah, the kind of thing that Frank Lampard does. And I totally agree. I hope he gets relegated and I hope he steps on an upturned plug as well. we had a couple of questions ahead of the Champions League qualification. So this was an interesting one from Leo Doseretz, who says, in light of the dramatic events, does every player for a Premier League side have a Champions League bonus in their contract? If so, are they limited by other conditions, e.g. appearances, and what is their approximate value? And actually, we got an answer to that over the weekend, because The Athletic basically said that Spurs players are sharing a bonus worth around $3.5 million for Champions League qualification, and Antonio Conte will receive a £2 million bonus. I must admit, I thought the $3.5 million between the squad seemed a little on the low side, but yeah, absolutely, Leo. The most Premier League players will have numerous clauses in their contracts around goals, assists, darts, achieve, cups, Champions League.
That's just an extra week's wages for our top earners.
Right. I know. Yeah, it's kind of mad, isn't it? After all that massive achievement of kind of coming back from the position we were in at one stage this season to achieve Champions League qualification, and actually it's not... Financially, there's not that much kickback.
It doesn't feel like that would be a significant impact on motivation, which my position is that players don't need motivation to want to be in qualify for the Champions League. If that's the intention behind it, then I don't get it, but whatever.
Yeah. Mm. Nuno was a bit tight. He should have put that slider all the way to high bonus for league finish. Instead, he probably put loads on. You know, in Football Manager, we have the options high, medium, low. You should have put that slider all the way to the right.
Friends of mine who work for a top European club qualified for the Champions League previously, and they received a bonus which was like very significant, and they went out and bought cars and stuff. So,
oh wow! What? So the whole club received a bonus, basically.
Yeah, yes. Every member of staff gets in on the bonus.
That's really nice.
So yeah, if you're Harry Kane, it's a week's wages, and if you're some mug in the scouting department, then you're really partying.
Yeah, yeah.
Some mug. That poor guy. He's the one who scouted Kulusevski and Bentancur. he deserves his money.
I don't think they took too much scouting, to be honest.
They've been fantastic, and another fine example from Kulusevski. I've got a Swedish follower who sends me all kinds of images whenever Kulusevski does something great.
Is that Aphex?
It is Aphex, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a character. I must say, I thought Bentancur was really impressive. The two bits of composure leading to the first two goals were just lovely. Like, he didn't even really need to look up. He just knew instinctively where his teammates were and found them immaculately. It was, yeah, really, really good. And Hjoipio was enjoying himself out there today as well. I mean, basically, our central midfielders could do whatever the hell they wanted because Norwich weren't going to put any pressure on them.
Yeah, yeah. The first five touches Tottenham had in the box were with Hojbjerg for some reason. I'm not sure what that was about.
Well, and then Bentancur as well, you know, yeah. Having two, and that must have, like, they must have cottoned on quite early on that they had a lot more freedom than they have recently, because both of them were making lots of forward runs.
I mean, I watched Tottenham versus Norwich for 90 minutes and I can't name a Norwich midfielder. Did they even touch the ball? All I remember from Norwich is Hanley, because he looks like a doorman. Byram, because he wiped out Kane. Krul, and then Pookie, and then that's it. I couldn't name a midfielder.
So Sorensen is the guy they rate, I think, who was playing as one of the pivots. But him and Norman, I mean, they were so sort of waif-like and uninvolved that they may as well have not been there. You're right. It was really not good from Norwich. But, you know, that's why I was so confident last week about saying we've done this, because they are horrendous. And I've got a friend that's a season ticket holder at Norwich, and he was like, if you can't beat this team, you really don't deserve Champions League, which is absolutely fair enough in hindsight.
I would like to take a moment as well before we move on just to celebrate the fact that Burnley are no more, and we won't have to deal with their time wasting. And I'm going to have to think up some new content, because I'm going to lose all my potato references. So that's sad, but I'm happy they're gone.
So, you know, as Bardi knows, because I mention it to him all the time, my uncle's a Burnley fan. So I feel sad for my uncle. But stylistically, I mean, Leeds are a much more interesting team. I think maybe they will be. I'm interested to see what Marsh can do with Leeds. I know John is not at all impressed so far.
He's
really, really not a fan of Marsh, and just sort of sees him as a motivator and not a lot else right now. But yeah, I'm definitely more interested in seeing Leeds than Burnley without Dyche. I mean, Burnley without Dyche is pointless. Well, I mean, they genuinely could plummet down the leagues now.
But Burnley were interesting for a while because, yeah, okay, they're just another team that parked the bus, but like they did it more zonally than man-orientatedly, and that was like an interesting quirk, and it was working, and they were dramatically overperforming their defensive end of expected goals. That was good for like a season or two, but like, goodness me, did they overstayed their welcome in the Premier League.
Hell yeah. So one of the things we always talk about when teams go down is whether we would be interested in picking up any of their players. Burnley, obviously the big names are McNeil and Cornet.
Yep.
Would you be interested in either of those?
Both of those players are on my wingback shortlists.
Ah, Cornet is a wingback. Okay. Yeah, he's been playing as a forward for Burnley, so I've not really seen him play wingback.
Prior to that, he was playing a winger role, which obviously at Burnley is the equivalent of or even a more defensive role than a Conte wingback. I think he profiles quite similarly to McNeil in several ways.
I like McNeil a lot. I think he's got a lot of talent.
Yeah, yeah.
Bardi, I imagine you want Tarkowski.
I really like Pope. I think Pope's an excellent goalkeeper.
He is decent, actually, isn't he?
People talk about his feet like he's bad, but he's got better feet than Lloris. So I think Pope would be a nice signing. He's English as well, and he's pretty young.
He's not that young anymore, but he is English. But it sounds like we've done our goalkeeper business, and we're going to snap up Fraser Forster.
I think that's not a bad move either. That's all right.
Oh, really? So you're a pro Forster?
Well, I think he's better than Gallini, he's better than Hart, he's better than Gazzaniga, so there's an improvement there.
Interesting. So there's a lot of people that think that he's worse than Joe Hart?
No, come on. Joe Hart was a corner flag with some gloves sellotaped to it. That's all he was.
Yes, I agree. Bardi, get lining up some ex-subs to come and ask us questions. Get them organized, get them lined up, and in the meantime I will ask Nathan this one. This is from Ty, who is next up. He says, if Spurs qualify for the Champions League, will Steven Bergwijn become a cult hero for his goals against Leicester?
Probably not. I think he just becomes like, oh, do you remember when we had Steven Bergwijn? Okay, see, maybe he's like, if he like, he really flies off. If he goes to Ajax for a couple of years, is outstanding there, and then goes to like, I don't know, another European, like a top European side, and it's like, oh, we had this guy and blah blah blah, we didn't use him properly, that kind of thing. I don't think there'll be much of a cult hero status because there just wasn't enough like minutes on the pitch for that, really. He has the quality, he has the worthiness of that, but I think he'll just be like, I don't know, not quite as bad as like, oh, do you remember when we had Stambouli at the club for like 18 months or whatever, you know? He's two really important goals in the end were the difference between Champions League and not, but he won't be seen in that light. I think it would just be kind of weird that he was here and hardly played.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think he's just going to go on and become a really, really good player at his next club, and we're just going to regret how little we've seen of him. I mean, if I have to sort of say the one thing I've been a bit disappointed with Conte so far, it's definitely been his kind of I suppose you'd call it lack of rotation, but using some of the players that I like, basically. And that's always going to happen. And when he gets more players that he's keen on next year, I'm sure he'll rotate more. But clearly he just doesn't quite trust the backups as much as the first team. And, like, you know, I guess that's fair enough, really. But, yeah, it's been a shame to have not seen a bit more of Bergwijn, particularly when he's impressed when he has played.
Fraser Forster's shot-stopping numbers are in the negative for the three seasons available on FBref. Whereas Sam Johnson's were in the positive.
So it sounds like Sam Johnson got a better offer financially. Buddy, before you get some of our lovely ex-subs on to ask us questions, I had a question from Alex via DM for you. He asked, what are your top five, although let's make it top three because of time constraints, what are your top three cuisines in the world and why? And you're not allowed to include Italian.
I'd go Indian. Just because there's a load of selection. You can, if you want to go veggie, you can stick veggie. If you want to go for meat, there's great options there. It's interesting. It can be fresh. It can be spicy. So Indian for sure. For the same reason, I'd also go Thai, because sometimes it feels a little bit cleaner, a little bit more precise, and I love Thai food. And then after that, probably French. But you can't eat a lot of French because it's a bit too much butter. But I love their way of eating, and I love how they treat their wine and their bread and everything else like that. So I'd go Indian, Thai, French.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say I love the way they treat their wives. I need to say French. Do you know what? I have so many happy memories of holidays in France with my family growing up. Like, I remember me and my dad would walk down to the boulangerie and pick up a baton and some brie. And you know, the French butter is so good. And so you'd have like a massive chunk of baguette with a bit of brie and salad. And oh, it's lovely. That's a great lunch. And then obviously their cordon bleu stuff is all French food tastes nice when you're in France, I think, basically.
And the thing about French food as well, it's a lot of fun eating it, but it's even more fun saying it. And there was a restaurant that I went to with my wife during lockdown 2020. We hired a camper van and did a tour around France. And there's this restaurant on the East Coast, and it just does oysters and wine. And it's one of the most incredible food experiences I've ever had. And that's the beauty of French cooking, but you can't have it all the time because they do go a bit heavy on the butter.
And garlic
as well. But the whole culture around just going to get a baguette in the morning, going to a campsite, ordering your croissants for the morning, it's brilliant. The French have got things sorted. So maybe I'm now talking about it, maybe I'm going to put the French in at one. But it's a mix. Indian, Thai, and French. That's my top non-Italian three.
Nice.
I made my South Asian girlfriend a curry from scratch. Ingredients available at home, no recipe book, and she loved it. And it's one of the greatest achievements of my life, to be honest.
Oh, wow. How spicy did you go with that, Nathan?
So I did, because I can't handle spice for two reasons. One, which is that I'm like a pathetic white boy. And two, which is that I suffer from a medical condition that makes it much, much worse. So I had to separate them just before serving and spice hers up massively and leave mine, you know, plainer. There's still, you know, paprika and garlic and stuff going on like that, but yeah.
And just want to do a shout out because people have mentioned Mexican and Japanese. They both deserve Japanese, a solid mention. Yeah.
Oh, I went to Sticks and Sushi last week and the sushi was so good. So good. I love Japanese food. I also love Lebanese food. I think that would make my top three. Come on then, Bardi. Who's first up?
I'm nervous about this, but we're going to go with Cole. He was the first one to respond. I think he had his response copy-pasted ready to go. So we're going to go Cole.
Which Cole is it? We've got two Coles. Is it Cole Della?
It's Cole Della.
It's Cole Della. I'm here.
Mr. Della, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I was about to, you know, wax lyrical about you guys and the podcast and everything, but I want to start off with a fuck Bardi for what you said just then.
What did I say? That was because you're always so eager to get on.
Oh yeah, okay,
it's whatever. A good thing though.
Yeah, sure. So I was actually going to say, like, this season's been made a lot better for me, just from a purely selfish point of view. Getting to meet some guys from the Discord and stuff for all the games this season, including Bardi, for better or for worse. It's been really great, and I'm very thankful for this community. But my question for you guys, starting it off on like a happy note. Fuck off, Connor. what would you say is your favourite moment of the season? Simple as that. Oh, and you can't say the same thing as each other. You got to do an individual one. There you go.
I think we're all going to want to say the same thing.
I said it first.
Oh God!
Yeah, Nathan got there first. You got to do a different one.
Okay, well, I'll have the Leicester last minute winner, the Bergvine 2 in stoppage time. Nice. That was magic.
I'm going to go us beating Man City away. We didn't hold much hope then. And I think that was one of the first moments that people really started to believe in Conte. I think that was a huge turning point for everyone.
It really was a turning point. Ugh, 100% agree with that, Bardi. I think that's a really, really important point. When we look back at the season, that will definitely feel like a really momentous victory. But to be honest, there's been so many good moments this year since Conte came in, and lots of very, very happy memories from the season. Thank you, Cole. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate your support. Can't wait to hang out with you guys at White Hart Lane next season. Really looking forward to it. I'll be there, and I'll buy you all a beer.
There's a lot of them, Windy. There's a lot of them before you start saying you're going to buy a beer.
I'll be there and I'll be receiving a beer from Windy.
with the money paid to me by the ex-subs.
Still own me. I remember going out drinking with Windy when I ordered some top shelf tequila and we had a shot each. And then he downed his shot and went, that's it, I'm going home now. I just paid like 10 quid for one of his, a really nice shot of tequila. And he just walked off on me. So if you're an ex-sub and you're waiting for Windy to buy you a beer, don't hold your breath.
Who's next, Bardi boy?
Sorry. We got John. High key per attitude. There we go.
How is it going, everybody?
Hey, man.
Good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. So my question's plain and simple. Over under a week till Son gets sold to Madrid. No. But honestly, kind of builds off the last question. Where would you guys say that this season ranks in terms of just enjoyment for you? Because I think it's definitely towards the top for me. Just with how terrible everything was before Conte came in. Obviously, we weren't at the bottom of the table, but the football was so bad. And just to kind of turn things around and actually enjoy watching Tottenham for the first time since before the pandemic was really great, I think. So how did you guys like it?
Go on, Bardi, you go first.
It's been great to be back in the stadium. That's the first and foremost. That's really important. Even watching the Nuno 1-0, it was still nice to be back in the stadium, seeing friends and watching live football again. But the way it's kind of turned around under Conte has been brilliant. And it's up there, especially how the season ended. It's up there with Pochettino's best years, for sure.
Ooh, high praise. Nathan?
God, yeah, I sort of don't know. I mean, I spoke last episode about how, like, I've been so down about Spurs for such a long time, and the last few weeks have really, there have been moments to enjoy prior, but the last couple of weeks have really, really picked up and made me fall back in love with Spurs. And that's kind of unique from, like, here's a really good season where I've enjoyed it all the way through and you know, been on the edge of my seat every weekend or twice a week. But I guess, like, when I look back in retrospect, if like, I don't know, if this is where I'm back long-term with Spurs again, then this has been such an important season for me personally, really caring again. And it's kind of huge in that fact, right?
I totally agree. I wrote about this this morning on my blog, actually. It's because of where we came from. So, I mean, it was slightly different under Pochettino because it was like it was a process. It was building over time as you know, incremental improvement, and there were some magnificent points on that journey. But in terms of like a sharp upward trajectory, this season has felt pretty special to me. I mean, I really do feel like we're pulling together in the right direction. I feel very excited about the future, and. Yeah, I kind of have loved this year. It's one of my favorites for sure. It's one of my favorites of all time. You know, and we have got some of the best players that we've ever had at Spurs at the moment. And watching Son Heung-min do his thing is an absolute privilege. He's got the golden boot. He's one of the best players in world football at the moment. And, you know, he's turned up for the majority of weeks this season. He's been phenomenal. And that's been really special. Really special. And the other thing is, I absolutely am obsessed with Cuti Romero. I think he's amazing.
Yeah,
love him so much, and he's brought me a lot of joy.
Okay, hey, I do just have one thing I'd love to add to that, though.
Sure.
Because I think one thing you guys were big proponents of, specifically Nathan and Wendy, no offense, Barty, was that we did have really good players. Like, it wasn't the problem that the squad was terrible. And I mean, to bring in Conte, I mean, there was a period of time this year where people were upset that we lost Matt Doherty. And to think that could have happened 12 months ago is absolutely insane. So that's been the biggest thing for me, I think, as well.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of redemption arcs, haven't there?
But like, yeah, we can't like really ride off that because our position was like the quality in the squad is like Ndombele and Dele and Lo Celso and Bergwijn, right? So like yes, we claimed that there was quality in the squad, but like it wasn't where we were saying it was. It was essentially
not
that, like
any of those players,
our competent players can be like coached into oblivion to play good football, right? By one of the best coaches in the world.
Yeah, I think there's a really interesting discussion point there about the players that Conte decided to place faith in and why. I think that's something we'll return to over the summer because, it's interesting for sure. John, thank you so much. Really appreciate the question. Who's next, Bardi?
We got Dap next.
Ah, oh, some lilting Irish tones. Dap, how are you doing?
Not too bad, you know, all things considered. It's pretty decent day at Barclays. So the question I had was sort of addressed by John there at the very end with a bit of a tap in. So I feel like the question of the squad was, as much as people have praised Wendy correctly for being adamant we can make top four, I think the squad was definitely a big question. I think over the last 2 years of Mourinho, which we all knew was going to happen because we've seen it happen at Chelsea, we've seen it happen at United, even though United seem to be going through it again, this idea that the squad is terrible and irredeemable and we needed to erase everyone out of it, that nothing was salvageable. If you remember, like with Nuno, was Ben even playing under Nuno? I don't think he was he?
Dele was playing.
No, Ben was.
In the last couple of matches, he replaced Reguilon as our starting attacking output left back.
Okay, then Nuno then saw it at the beginning, and he was the actual genius of that redemption arc. But like the point being that I just think that as much as I think like Bentancur and Kulusevski have been phenomenal, and we've seen it today. I think the best thing about this season for me has been the. Even though it hasn't always been the players who wanted to be, the upgrade of like Eric Dier more for me than anyone else and Ben Davies, and just how solid. I had zero doubt going into the North London Derby when people were rightly panicking when Romero was gone. I worried for a second and then I realized I'm not giving Ben and Eric enough respect over how good they've been the last maybe 3 months. And I was just like, more than only talking about how strong our attack has become, I think really the thing I've been impressed by, considering how shambolic our defending has been for 2 years, just how confident I am that we will not concede goals.
I completely agree. And I'll go a step further and say that actually the role they play in possession is absolutely integral to the style more generally as well, the way they kind of, we tempt the teams towards us. So they have to show a lot of composure in possession. And Eric Dier has been doing that since pretty much day one of Conte's reign at Spurs. I really still think he goes under the radar a lot. I think he has had a fantastic season. Really like so reliable and so, so competent. So yeah, completely agree with that point. Anything either of you would add?
I'd also just like to say the Højbjerg disrespect needs to come to an end. He may have missed an absolute sitter because I think he thought Son was offside because Norwich are that bad that they had someone on the line. And I genuinely think he didn't think anyone was back there. But yeah, he has been really good and people need to need to stop being so ridiculous with Højbjerg. I hope he remains a key part of the team next season.
He's a really, really, really important part of this team. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think Conte loves him.
I mean, could there be any more shots fired at me from that? People need to give him some respect. He has been playing,
getting held to account by the ex-subs. I love it.
I would like Sonny to unmute and ask a question with a voice that is not Bardi's.
He has been playing really well, Højbjerg, but I still think we need to upgrade him. That's it. He's been playing really well, but yeah, needs improving there.
Okay, you can have it, Bardi. I'm not gonna argue. I'm too tired to argue. Who's next? Thank you, Dan. Really appreciate it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We got Boo Boo the Fool.
Dylan.
Hey, what's up, what's up?
How's it going?
You know, just enjoying this beautiful Sunday morning, watching Tottenham get that top four.
So Bardi might not know this, but
Dylan's the coolest person in the Discord by far.
Dylan's the coolest person and also the most famous person.
No. No, you guys are the most famous because we are all here because of y'all.
Okay, but you were on a primetime TV show.
That did happen. It's just another day in the office, I suppose.
Really exciting.
That all being said, I am going to be in Europe next month, so we'd love to meet up with some people if that's possible.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think I have like a whole week off in London too, so I'll be around.
Oh, nice. Oh, well, yeah. I will definitely come and meet you and say hi.
Beautiful. So my question is kind of similar to like what other people have been talking about, but I bought a Dele jersey at the beginning of the season and then he got transferred out and a friend of mine made a joke saying, "All right, Dylan, you got to get a Doherty jersey." And then I was like, no, that sounds bad, but now he's good. which then just leads me to say, like, what jersey should I buy to kick another squad player out? Like, should it be Lucas next? Which then just leads to a whole question of who should we let go? Because I really genuinely think that everybody's good enough to be on this team right now. But, you know, it's like, who do we let go? Who do we keep? How do we maintain this very bubbling, good vibes group of players that I see happening, like off the pitch, on the pitch, through social media? I don't know. It looks like a really good group of guys are getting their shit together, and it's really nice to see.
Mm. I feel like Bardi would still take a hatchet to the squad given half the chance. So Bardi, who do you think will move on? Who do you think needs to move on? Or are you just happy having the squad in one piece?
I think Winks probably gets another year just because he's got the homegrown status. I don't think we can afford to ship another one out. I think Lucas is gone. I think Bergwijn's gone. As much as I like Bergwijn, I think it's probably the right decision. And then I think we'll probably lose Reguilón and Emerson, maybe. So it's not a real hatchet job. I think it needs a little tidying up. But I do think a lot of it will depend on the money we get for Ndombele and Lo Celso.
Interesting. So I think Winks will go, actually. More because I think he'll be demanding the move. I mean, I think
someone has to pay the money for him. Someone needs to come in and offer money, but I'm not sure who's going to buy him.
Do you know, I don't think there'll be a shortage of takers for Winks because he is a air quotes, proven Premier League player. He's an England international, no less. And I think for like a middling Premier League team, he'll do an absolutely fine job. And he's got the homegrown benefit as well. Someone said, Liam's just said Winks to Brentford. I think, yeah, that would kind of make sense maybe. Nathan, who would you expect to leave, and is there anyone there that you'd like to leave?
Yeah, get Son out. No, I'm kidding. everyone's trying to own me in my mentions right now by sending me images of Son with a golden boot. But it's like, I love him. Like, I couldn't be happier that he has the golden boot. I want Lucas to go, obviously. But I think... I think getting Ndombele top, because then like we can be assured, because we need to get a fee out of him. He's going to be hard to move on because he should demand a significant fee, and maybe there isn't as much excitement about him as there should be. So getting Ndombele top, and then we'll know we'll have got whatever it is we're asking for him.
Mm.
You don't want him just sort of sticking around in the squad, you know, not involved, costing wages and stuff.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I think there will be a lot of transfer business this summer, both ins and outs. I think there'll be a surprising amount of transfer business, more than we're used to dealing with. And poor Cal is going to be up against it to keep on top of it. I mean, it's already, the rumours have already gone haywire. It's just going to get even worse. I hope that's answered your question, Dylan. Appreciate it, and look forward to catching you when you're in London.
Woo! Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Speak soon. So I want to see if... I want to see if Zach is ready. So Zach has won the Extra Inch Fantasy Premier League Mini League. He has had an extraordinary Fantasy Premier League season, and I kind of want to have a chat with him. Zach, are you available? Are you able to unmute?
I'm here, but this is going to be really awkward because I think my dinner is going to be ready real soon.
Okay.
We couldn't have really planned it worse. I do apologize.
It's fine. Don't you worry. We'll just have a couple of quick words, and then if you get interrupted, then perhaps we'll have another proper chat another time. Do you know where you finished at this point?
Yeah. I had a check, and it's 78.
That is...
I went down a little bit.
Wait. But...
In the world.
Holy shit.
In the world.
Can you get like a job now?
Sorry, Bloody, have you not been reading Wendy's emails?
No. Yeah, this is the thing. So because I send them from the Extra Inch account, they don't go to Bardi Nathan, and they miss out. So yeah, Zach, that's an amazing achievement. Seriously amazing. And there are millions and millions and millions of players. So this is a it's a kind of once in a lifetime probably achievement. So bearing in mind, you're probably going to have to leave quickly. Why has this been such a good season for you? Has this been such a good season? I guess.
I feel like I'm pretty good. I didn't think it'd be this good, but it's always just all about planning.
Like, you can plan like Windy plans all the time, but like he's good, but he's like not nowhere near that level. Like how do you plan? Because how do you plan? Because a player waxing three goals and you triple captain him. How do you see that coming?
It's more just about, so captaincy is the most important part of the game.
Mm.
So I will always have an advance who I think I will want to captain for the next, let's say, like 5 weeks. And I'll make sure my transfers are based around ensuring I always have who I think is the best captain.
Okay. And now, do you ever take points to change players? Do you ever look at it and go, I need this guy in, I'm going to take the penalty here, or you just don't waste points that way?
I do, but it's rare. That's where I say planning comes into it, because I'll always use fixtures, and generally I'll make sure my team is set up so that I don't need to. Like, I'll be happy to have the player that I think is the second best option for that week, not obviously not captain, but just any random player over the best player, if that player is better over the next 3 weeks, for example.
Okay, so because I'm rubbish at this. I'm rubbish at fantasy football, and I don't mind admitting that. So I'm really curious. I've just got one more question. Sorry for hogging this. At the start of the season, when it comes to August, like, you don't know who's in form or what's happening. So I always have a terrible August. So I spend the rest of the season chasing it. How do you sort out August? How do you know who you're going to pick with right from the start?
The start of the season is, that's when I use like FPL content the most, basically.
Okay.
At the start of the season, I will find out how players from other teams are doing in pre-season and get a rough idea. Most of the time, I'll have like at least half of my squad I nailed on. I know I want them. And then, yeah, I just use information to fill the gaps, basically.
Okay.
The start of the season is like the trickiest part.
And do you have like, you're religious on having like Salah or Kane, or you'd trade them out if you think they're going to go through a drop?
Pretty much would never take out Salah unless I feel like I need to. Obviously, there was a couple of occasions this year where obviously because of AFCON and stuff, I took him out a week early and I got very lucky because he missed a penalty. But yeah, generally, I'll always have Salah just because of how highly owned he is and good.
So you mentioned FPL content. I'm interested in how much you kind of watch, read, take in on a kind of week-to-week basis.
At the start of the season, I watch a few videos, pretty much always just Let's Talk FPL. He seems like a...
He's great. I love Andy.
Very good guy. I don't go past that. And for the rest of the season, the only content I consume is pretty much just passive information I find from Twitter, because I've followed like, I don't know, 20-odd FPL accounts. And yeah, they just retweet and you just see information that way.
I think that's a really sensible approach. I mean, my problem, so Bardi mentioned I'm good. I'm okay at Fantasy Premier League. I'm sort of above average, but you know, nowhere near Zach's league. And I had a horrendous game week this week. It's absolutely blown some of my mini leagues. I was in a good position and I captained Sessegnon. I took a risk and captained Sessegnon, and it didn't work out. And part of my problem is that I take in too much content and I get swayed. And it seems to me like you have such a clear idea of what you want to do and you don't budge from that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure. As soon as there's too many other voices in your head, it just gets confusing. I'll occasionally throughout the season, I'll stick on one of his videos just to see if like his thoughts are similar to mine, make sure I'm not completely going off track. And yeah, generally it's like, yeah, the same players kind of cropping up and I'll just go with whatever my gut is.
Mm.
So you have to bear with me 1 minute. Sorry.
No worries. This is good stuff. We're getting inside knowledge here from a genuinely brilliant fantasy Premier League player. So the other thing that I want to talk to Zach about, if he has time, is whether he lets it affect his mood. Because I've noticed there's a big sort of movement in the FPL community to talking about mental health and how, like, so a lot of people talk about how Fantasy Premier League affects their relationship with football generally, because it makes them want to support players they wouldn't normally want to support. And I think that's one thing. But the other thing is, no worries. I think it can really impact on your mood if you're in very competitive mini leagues with friends. Do you find that you kind of have to switch off from it during the week, Zach, and just focus on the game week nearer the time?
I'll be honest, my friends, we're all quite addicted to it. So we talk a lot about it, but I don't find it really bothers my mood.
Mm.
I think probably just, again, going back to my friends, we always take the piss out of each other. Mm. And so it's kind of just never feels that serious.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, if you can keep it light and still finish that high up, you're doing something right. That's seriously impressive. Dak, we'll let you go because obviously you need to eat.
I do appreciate that.
really, like, massive congratulations on this achievement. It's so impressive, and hopefully we'll be smashing it next year as well. Although obviously we don't necessarily want the same winner every year in our mini league.
I can say I'm fairly certain I won't win next year because I am moving to Australia and I don't think I'm going to pay that much attention, basically, other than
Wow. The time zone is going to be a nightmare for FPL anyway, isn't it, in terms of deadlines and whatnot. Well, listen, good luck in Australia as well. Obviously we'll keep in touch through the Discord, but huge congratulations. Very, very well done. It's an incredible achievement.
Thank you very much. Cheers, everyone.
Bardi, who you got lined up for another question?
We have got Sunredity, who's got a question.
No way.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, buddy.
Can you hear me? Okay?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Long time listener, first time caller. I've been moved to ask a question to debunk all the rumours. So my question is quite simple, which is what bit of Arsenal All for Nothing are you most excited about seeing?
So yeah, this is an interesting question. So I think we spoke in the last podcast about being excited about Arsenal's All or Nothing. And then someone made the point in the Discord, and forgive me, I can't remember who it was, but like, yeah, you really don't need to get excited about this because they will just edit it like Arsenal had a massive achievement this year. And like they did with Spurs, you know, Mourinho celebrating qualifying for the Europa League. They're going to do that with Arteta as well, aren't they?
You sure? I don't see how you can, like, I don't see how you can phrase it that way. I don't understand what angles you can take. Surely the expectation, like, especially mid-season, the expectation must have been, I don't know. Not like, I don't know how. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no, you're right, because we were basically on for the title during the first third of the season under Mourinho, yeah, weren't we? The end scene is him dancing.
Yeah, like, they spun a narrative.
Sort of like the hope and promise of our extremely exciting future under Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, yeah. And you can just imagine, you know, the fact that they have a relatively young squad, that will play a huge part in it. It'll be kind of, you know, Arteta developing his young boys, and they'll come back stronger next year with this experience under their belt, etc., etc.
Still going to enjoy the derby.
They don't want to upset Arsenal as well, do they? You know, they've been working with them throughout this whole year. They're not going to want to shit on them at the last minute, as funny as it would be. And to be honest, they deserve it. Totally deserve it.
You can't call yourself All or Nothing and then just praise up whatever happens.
Yeah, All or Nothing or somewhere in the middle, and that's fine.
Yeah, nuanced season presented by Amazon.
Yeah,
I think so. I think you guys are right. They'll just big it up. And what they will also do is spend like maybe one whole episode talking about their 45 minutes they played against Man City.
And yes.
And then talk about when they beat us under Nuno. And then it will be all about building towards something in the future, young squad, all this kind of stuff. But today, when Kulusevski whipped that into the top corner, I was just like, that's the player that Arsenal think Saka is. But Kulusevski is five times the player Saka is. If Saka, no one would care about Saka if he wasn't English and a young guy and playing for Arsenal, because he's not that good. And I think that's
Buddy,
what we'll see.
Come on. Come
no, he's
on.
Rubbish. He's rubbish.
Buddy, this is...
No, he's no good, Windy. He's terrible. He let his country down. He let his country down. Let his team down. Let Arsenal fans all around the world down. And for me, he's a hero, because without him, I wouldn't have had a great summer last year. And
so you should love him.
The fact that Italy aren't going to the World Cup is all right, because Saka did good things for me, but let his country down. But he is rubbish, and you can't compare him to Kulusevski, who's five times the player, more mature, stronger, better finishing, better everything. And Arsenal can get in the bin. I'm fed up of having to think about them and talk about them. They are a bad football team who were lucky to finish fifth.
Everyone knows what you're doing right now. Everyone knows that you're like doing the crowd pleasing thing of, you know, Arsenal shit and all their players are shit, like you did last week with Ben White.
In the mud, Windy. They're in the mud, and that's exactly where they deserve to be. And do you know what's the most beautiful thing about today? They won 5-1. Frank Lampard turned up, played all his reserve players, and they pumped them 5-1. And still they're crying, and still they've done nothing. And that's the best thing that happened today. Spurs win it. I mean, part of me was just like, had we got a 0-0? But we pumped Norwich 5-0. They won 5-1, and it means nothing at the end of the day. They built a sandcastle. Yeah. The sea came in, and it's gone.
It is glorious to see them fail. It's absolutely wonderful to see them fail. Look, I like the sentiment. I like shitting on Arsenal. I don't think Saka's rubbish. I think Saka's really fucking good. And I could see him going to Liverpool and excelling. Yeah. But that's, you know, that would be funnier to me, that he leaves Arsenal and goes to a bigger club. That would be amazing.
He will thrive when he goes to a good club.
Yeah.
Like an Emery.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
He wouldn't get in the Spurs team. Sessegnon is a better player.
He wouldn't get ahead of Kulusevski, because, like you say, Kulusevski is incredible. Would Saka end up playing wing back? He probably would end up playing wing back. Yeah, he'd probably end up playing right or left wing back at Spurs, I think.
He'd be a good wing back.
As a left back.
He would be a good wing back. There's no doubt about that.
He'd be a good wing back. I give him that.
Yeah, he was a very good wing back for the youth team, for sure. Have we got any more questions?
Yeah, Dan wants to ask a question.
Dan. Dan, are you?
Hello, gang. Am I on?
Hey, you mate. On? How are you doing?
I'm very good. I was having a lovely time at the pub. Was Arsenal fan right behind me who was just having a fucking meltdown the entire time. It was beautiful.
Glorious. That's perfect. That's the perfect end to a perfect season.
Yeah. So my question, sort of, obviously we're all looking to next season. It's been a lot of chat about transfers. Mm. But sort of that aside, from a sort of tactical point of view, where do we think the main area for improvement is? Like, not necessarily just thinking, oh, we need to bring in a better wing back or whatever, but tactically, what's the thing we need to work on?
You know what I'm going to say? Because I keep banging on about it recently. It's set pieces. I think that's the... Yeah, I do genuinely think that Conte has instilled his system now. I mean, it is simply a case of having better players for me in terms of the general tactics. But I think there's a lot of work we can do with set pieces, and I think that will really enhance us. You know, if you can add another 5 to 10 set piece goals and stop conceding several as well, that really helps. It really helps. And, you know, now he has got his ideas instilled in the players and they know what they're doing. Hopefully that creates some capacity to work more in set pieces throughout the season. Nathan, any thoughts?
I kind of going to do that annoying thing where I sort of don't fully accept the question on its own terms, right? Because I think where we most need to improve tactically is our, like, playing out from the back under pressure from the goalkeeper. And I think that only really comes through an improvement in personnel, right? So it's an improvement in personnel allowing us to improve tactically at playing out under pressure. At the moment, like, Emerson Royale is an issue there at times. Sessegnon has been an issue there at times. Davinson playing at the moment. But if we can improve our personnel there, and then also with improved personnel, keep working those patterns that are doing so much for us, then basically teams will give up on pressing us, I think. And then our problem, or not necessarily our problem, but our challenge is opening up a mid or deep block every week. And that becomes its own skill that you develop over time because it's what you face all the time.
Hmm. Bardi, is there anything you'd like to add?
I think we can win the league if Kane is on it from day one.
Ooh, that's a big call.
I mean, if you think about it, we didn't have Kane until, what, Christmas? We had an unsettled squad. If we have a nice settled squad pre-season under Conte, no international tournaments until December. But we can do things, for sure.
Oh, Windy will be back in 2 minutes and we need to fill. Okay, who's got a question?
We have Jam, but I think Jam might have disappeared. So we can open it up to the coach asked a question. Nathan, do you want Eriksen back?
Yes. Which doesn't fill for 2 minutes very well, does it?
No.
Yeah, I mean, damn, he makes so much sense in so many ways because he can cover, like, whether we play a 5-3-2 or whether we play a 5-2-3, like, he can fill in various different roles. He can add creativity through to central midfield, depending on how we want to do it. And he would probably be okay accepting, like, not playing, you know, twice a week necessarily because of his own fitness concerns. He might accept lesser minutes. Obviously, we know he's going to settle in well. We know he's going to work well under Conte. And it's like, it's such a challenge to find players. I think I've spoken about this before, but like someone who is like simultaneously is like creative, but is not going to like contrast with Conte, because that's the real problem. It's like, I've got a list of players like, oh, these are good passers of the ball, but it's like, why is it that Fabregas doesn't work out under Conte? But Brozovic does, right? Why is it Eriksen doesn't work out for a while, but then eventually settles and is working? It's really hard, I think, to scout for that profile, because you just, because it's going to be like a personal thing. It's going to be about things you can't measure very easily. So you know that Eriksen is safe there, basically.
Yep, I agree. I would like to see him back. I think 5 subs opens us up to getting players like Eriksen and Bale back. Bobby has got a question. Bobby, here we go. Bobby.
Is this Bobby Docks?
Bobby Docks.
Bobby Docks.
Come on, Bobster.
You can do it, Bobby. You
find,
can do it.
Find the unmute button. We believe in you.
This isn't working out, is it?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I was told to unmute.
Yeah, we can hear you. Go for it.
Okay, good.
Introduce yourself. Who are you? I can't.
Yeah, my name is Garðar Þór. I'm from Iceland. So.
Oh, hello.
What a name.
I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you if you can't pronounce it. I've just got a simple question, really, because over the last, like, I don't know, since January, I've kind of fallen in love with Kulusevski. And I was just wondering, what do you guys think he has the ability to become, like, one of the best Premier League players?
Yes, I do. I genuinely do. I think there's a lot more to come from Kulusevski. I think what tends to happen when a player comes in and just hits the ground running like this, you see often that the next season they will be quote unquote found out by the opposition teams and they'll stop them. The reason why I think it's different for Kulusevski is because you already know what he's going to do every time he gets the ball. He's going to cut inside on his left foot. And you still can't stop him because he's so powerful and his timing is great and his spatial awareness is great and his end product is great. And for that reason, I think he genuinely can become one of the best, very best Premier League players. I think he can be as impactful for us as, you know, Mahrez is for Man City or Mane is for Liverpool or maybe even Salah. I mean, I think he's really seriously special. And the connectivity he has with Kane and Son, the understanding that they have. I mean, even the understanding he was forming with Matt Doherty before Doherty got injured and it actually has since been building with Emerson Royale in the last few games.
Yeah.
I think it just shows that he is a really smart, intuitive footballer with a really good brain. By the way, the one today where he kind of had the open goal and missed it with his right foot, I think he was passing to Son and he got it wrong.
100%. It was like a pass that was on target, right? So it could go in or it could be converted.
Exactly.
If Son's not there or if Son's not on the golden boot, he finishes that with his left foot, definitely.
I agree. I completely agree.
He redeemed himself after that, like in the next,
he showed what he could have done.
Few minutes. Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
No, I've got a question. Like, what got you into Spurs? Was it Sigurdsson or Gudjonsson or just Spurs in general? What was the inspiration behind supporting our great club?
Okay, so maybe like 5 years ago, I started. I went to a game in Spain, and after that, I kind of fell in love with football. So I just started watching the Premier League with no team that I supported. But after a while, like. People say the teams you support will choose you, and that was the case with Spurs. I kind of fell in love with them, and I felt like they could be something very big, but I didn't want to support something that was already big. So I guess that's my answer.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. A lot of, especially sort of foreign fans, find that same level of appeal where we're exciting and we're good and maybe we're going somewhere, but we're not just sort of the obvious, you know, glory hunting picks. I think that's it's kind of been our brand for a while, basically.
Yeah, and I don't know. They were also very fun to watch. It was the first season under Pochettino, so it was kind of fun watching. Okay, anyways, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
I just realized I said Sigurdsson. I probably shouldn't have. Oh dear.
I mean, if it's truth, it's the truth. You know, if it, that.
Yeah.
He was at Spurs. It's, well, you're not praising him or anything like that. You're okay, I think.
Okay, I haven't given Windy his dream and cancelled myself. That's all right. We can. We keep moving forward.
You live to fight another day. It is a matter of time, though, right?
Yeah, it is a matter of time. Yeah.
We're just waiting for that one tweet to go viral. Do we have any other questions lined up, Bardi?
No one. I mean, unless Bobby Docks has moved from his AirPods to a proper headphone set. Let's have a look. If he unmutes, otherwise
give
we don't.
Him one more chance.
Do I have another chance? Am I good? Or
you're good. Back. We can hear you.
Bobby. Let's go. Tim really wants me to release the next version of the Down Bad rankings, but I do feel really bad for Harry. So I don't know if I'll do that or not. But
Can you explain to everybody what the Down Bad rankings are?
No. Do not explain this, Bobby. This is a very name. Much a behind the. No.
Okay.
This doesn't need explanation. And also, that thread is sacred. And what you've done is just open it up to a lot of other people.
I feel bad because I do these Down Bad rankings. And then, like, people are now afraid to share, I feel like. At least Harry is, for sure. And. you know, he doesn't want to, like, he wanted to win the down bad rankings. And now that he's won it, he's like, okay, well, I'm never going to tell anybody another thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, we love Harry. We love Harry.
Bless him dearly. Like I said, when I released the rankings a month ago, I'm rooting for him. I hope it all works out. Anyway, I had two things that I just wanted to say. One, there is a club in London that gets battered everywhere they go, and it's not goddamn Tottenham. It's Arsenal. They get battered everywhere they go. If we would have bottled something in the way that they did, we never bottled anything in the way that they did. Recently, anyway. Everybody's yelling at me to release the rankings. Goodness me. It pays to have celebrity. Anyway, so I guess I'm more so the only thing that I sort of wanted to say, I wanted to say like a couple of things. One, if anybody in here is in the Philadelphia Spurs like group, by the way, our setup that was great. It was the first game I went to all year, at Founding Fathers in Philadelphia. So if you were there, great atmosphere, great. I hope, hopefully that continues that way. And then, secondly, I just wanted to say, sorry to Windy for his beloved Wickham for not coming through in the playoffs yesterday and losing to the beautiful Spurs boys, Dennis Sirkin and Jack Clark. So,
and Alex Pritchard, he was.
Oh, and Alex Pritchard, yeah. He was awesome. Him and Patrick Roberts, like, bossed the entire game, basically.
For sure. I agree. Yeah, so I was at the League One playoff final yesterday. It was my first football match, live football match, for 2.5 years at least. It was amazing. I loved being back at live football. The Sunderland fans were incredible. Incredible in the stadium, but also I just like the Sunderland fans generally. They're good people. We had lots of good chats with very level-headed Sunderland fans. It was a fantastic day, and Wickham obviously lost to a much better, more talented, and most importantly, richer team. So they, you know, they were always the underdogs. But yeah, so Jack Clark came off the bench for Sunderland and had a decent impact. He played pretty well. And, all the fans I spoke to said they would definitely take him back next year in the championship. So I guess we'll keep an eye on that one.
Yeah. And I just have one question that I want to ask. So everybody talks about how Conte can't manage Europe, basically. Doing the two games a week for whatever reason, it's his preparation, etc. That he just can't manage it. Why not us? I don't know. I'm an optimist. Why can't he just do it with us? Like, when we have two of the best forwards in the world. And I just think, I don't know. The Champions League is like a very big, like, omission on his resume. Like, the furthest I think he's gotten is the quarterfinals once. So like, why can't we be the club that breaks that duck for him? We literally have everything we don't have everything yet. But we're close to having everything we would need to make a run in the Champions League. So basically, my only thing is, why shouldn't we believe in Conte for Europe? Mm. So I guess I'll leave it at that.
I would say that our unique position is that, so Conte arrives at club, maybe they start the first few weeks a little slow, they get up to speed and they blow the league away in his first season, and then maybe in his second it's not so great, or his third or whatever, and then he heads off. And our position here is that he's come in mid-season for us. So we're better, we've learnt the system without having completed a full Conte season with the pre-season. And I wonder if that is the possibility, that we are going into our first full Conte season better prepared, and therefore needing less time to be learning the basics and more time for individual match preparation with two games a week next season.
Hell yeah, this is very exciting. That is a nice optimistic note to end Bobby's question on, I think. Bardi, I understand you're lining up someone else.
Yeah, we got Freddie next.
Oh my goodness, what have you done? Freddie, are you there?
I am indeed.
How are you doing, Fred?
Not bad. I just woke up, actually. I fell asleep after the first half and I knew it was done and dusted. I thought, fuck it, I'll have a kip.
Jesus Christ.
Absolutely piss easy. So I thought, yeah, I'll get out of bed.
What are that?
How about you? What have I missed so far anyway? Has it been going on for a while?
Yeah. It's, an hour and a half of solid content. Yeah.
The best is yet to come as well.
Come on then.
Not now. But you know what's coming up in the future is what I'm saying. I think I've been summoned for a very specific reason.
This is definitely your calling in life. I feel like you've arrived.
It's been a bit aimless the last 25 years, and we accidentally stumbled upon some magic a few months ago. Now, there's probably a lot of people here that actually haven't got a fucking clue what Virgin Mania is, because we make a lot of in-jokes about it, and no one really understands it. So I think what I'd probably say is that you did a Patreon post, right, when we posted all of the all of the matches, great. So people need to look at that. And I think I'm at a stage now that we've got top four as well, I'm absolutely fucking ready to do this Virgin Mania.
Wait, we need to explain, because there'll be a lot of listeners here who have no idea what Virgin Mania is.
Exactly, but this is... All right, okay, so for everyone who's actually listening, Virgin Mania was a... The inception of Virgin Mania is basically WWE 2K22 got released, and they have a custom creation center in the game, and there's a shit ton of exiles we've made over the last couple months. Big shout out to Greg, by the way, who made a bunch of the exiles who need to download still. But it started off, I just started streaming one day on Twitch and just making people, made Jamie and stuff. Obviously, we've got all of the extra inch guys. We've got a load of X subs. I can't promise that I'll make everyone, because the more we made, the more people signed up. So we're actually probably at our maximum now. But essentially, what it's boiled down to is we did some test matches and stuff. It was absolutely hilarious. Bardi fought Dan in a cage match, which was one of the best wrestling matches ever.
I lost that one, though, didn't I?
You lost, but I don't think you could say there was actually any losers, because both of them were on such a show. It was just unreal.
The fact that you survived the fall off the cage twice, I think you were a winner, really.
And what I guess I actually forgot to mention that all of the ex-subs have actually been face scanned in. So they're not just imagination. Bardi's guy it looks like Bardi. It's a picture of Bardi. You know, everyone's is a picture of each other's, basically. And some have gone a lot better than others. Bardi has a Hoybier tattoo as well on his back. He's got Hoybier 5 on his back. Yeah.
Do you have a football question?
Absolutely not.
No. He's been asleep, Bardi. He literally slept through the most important game in Spurs' recent history.
Yeah.
Where, he doesn't give a fuck about football. He's all about Virgin Mania. Freddie, we probably don't need to do the couch now, do we? You've had your moment in the sun.
I suppose so. I think that's fair. I had a good little stint on the deli Q&A or watch along with Nathan a little while ago as well. So
yeah, do you know what I do want to get you on the couch. You fascinate me. Thank you, Freddie.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your Q&A.
Cheers, mate.
We have Chaim the Great has a question.
I think you butchered that name, Bardi.
Sorry,
that's all right. You guys hear me?
How should you say it then? Wait, how should it be said? Sorry,
it's Hebrew. It's Chaim. Yeah, it's the sound. No. If it helps, just put a K. Chaim is kind of close. First, thank you for doing the pod and for having this community over the year. It's been really exciting to have not only the football community, but just kind of a discussion of life through the past 2 years. I had a question going into the summer. I distinctly remember last summer, Romero being kind of the big name we were interested in. And I was wondering, within the realm of realism, defined how you want that, what's the name you want? What's the signing that you're most interested in, the link you're most interested in, and then whether you think we're going to have a good summer? Thanks.
Great question. Nathan, any big names on your lists?
Well, my big name was Mazraoui, but he's gone to Bayern. So I don't know. Well, people are calling for Bastoni, and I think that's a good shout, because maybe he is within the realms of possibility, apparently, of things to be believed.
And about the best centre-back we could sign.
Yeah, yeah.
He's Bayern, beautiful. Bastoni's a beautiful, beautiful player. He can tackle, he can pass, he can run, he can create. He's an absolute perfect player to play, and Conte loves him. It'd be great.
Nice. There you go. I think that's the answer, Chaim. We're going to leave it there. Before we do,
Chris Summersell has popped in. Do you want to hear from Chris Summersell? He is here.
Funnily enough, I was just going to mention Chris. So Chris does the Straight Off the Training Ground podcast with me. All the ex-subs will know that, but some of the other listeners might not. He is a delightful human being. He and his partner are expecting a baby any day now. Look, wouldn't it be amazing if the baby arrived on the day that Spurs secured Champions League? I'm just saying it would be very fitting. But Chris has put this tweet out today. I think it's a beautiful tweet. So Chris's tweet says, in the last seven seasons, we've qualified for the Champions League every single season that Jose Mourinho wasn't interfering with our football club. And on that note, we will wrap up the Q&A. Thank you so much to everyone for contributing questions, coming on to speak to us. Very much appreciated. We'll be back next week with the standard pod. Until then, enjoy a week of celebrations. The fact that Spurs have qualified for the Champions League.
Wasn't there something from Nathan we're waiting for?
There's not a soul out there. No one to hear my prayers. Give me a ginger for sweet. I came from Juventus and he plays on the wing. Give me a ginger for sweet. Number 21, his name is Kulusevski.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.